We are very privileged to have with us today Jeanette, I'm going to probably mess up your last name again, Lavigne?
Lavigne.
Lavigne. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it halfway right.
That was close.
Yeah, and Jeanette is a CHHC, which I'll ask you what that is in a minute, and her organization is Be Well, Be Whole, and she's a nutrition, health, and lifestyle coach. Mm-hmm. So welcome.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, what is a CHHC?
Right.
I hate acronyms. I really
I know.
Do. Yeah.
It's a Certified Holistic Health Coach.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You could have sped that out.
Sure, it's okay.
But I always ask, because I'm curious how people get involved in various professions. Someone said to me, well, you know, something happened when we were a child and they've always wanted to do X and they've done it.
Right.
Others told me that they had three kids and car payment and mortgage and taxes to pay and lost their job. So, you know,
right.
And that's how they got in that particular line. So I'm just curious, you know, me,
sure.
It would have been my four kids and, you know, that's how I got into my position at work when I worked. But, you know, we had a house and car payments and four kids and what have you. So job came along, I took it, you know.
Right, right.
But I'm just curious, how did you get involved with this?
Sure. Well, I was in the corporate world for over 20 years, raised my kids while I was working. And then after 21 years, I was laid off and I was shocked. It was like a bad divorce. I didn't expect it. I had wanted to make a change, but I didn't want to be forced into making a change. You know, mm-hmm. how you go through those things. But what it allowed me to do was kind of think, what do I really like to do? And that led me down the path of my my exercise path. I wanted to do something for others and for myself at the same time. So I started by getting certified in spin. And taught spin for a number of years, and then added on Zumba.
Spin is
the stationary bikes at the gym,
okay.
Right? And then I moved on to a variety of different certifications. One being Pilates, which I still teach. One being barre. We teach barre at Spice of Life Yoga Studio, right down the road from here.
You're not talking about barre where you're tipping a few.
No.
Explain what barre is.
B-A-R-R-E.
Yes, right. That's correct. Okay. B-A-R-R-E. Yes. So it's the ballet barre against the wall. But what we're doing is we're strengthening and we're toning different parts of our bodies, particularly the glutes and the legs and the arms. We have also strengthened the arms. But it's lengthening the muscles so you don't get that bulky look and feel. So I teach that, and I teach yoga. I'm working on my 500-hour yoga certification. I have my 200-hour, and I really enjoy teaching yoga. It's one of my passions. So I started down that line, and then I found another job pretty quickly, which I was lucky. But after that was at a company that started that whole financial disaster in 2008. So 2 years later, after many people had been laid off, we, the last of us, were laid off. So I was laid off again, twice. And at that point, I was with some college friends, and they're like, Jeanette, you love nutrition. You're always telling us what we should do for our kids. And it's true. I had been, you know, raising two boys and trying to find natural and alternative ways to heal them from childhood illnesses and stuff. And when they told me that, I thought, yeah, I do really like nutrition. And then I went researching schools, found the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and attended there and got my certification and started my business.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because over the course of almost 20 years of dealing with mental health issues and such and teaching family-to-family classes and support groups, et cetera, you meet a large variety of people. And you know, you were saying that being laid off from a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who was a biochemist and was laid off, couldn't find a job.
Right.
And liked to be a handyman. So he started his own handyman business.
That's great.
You know, and, you know, it's just what a different turn, you know, from what you were doing before as to what you're doing now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you did, you know, some of this nutrition and such while you were in the corporate world. You
right.
know?
On but, the side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's to be like, and when you hear these things, it just amazes me, you know, because, you know, people in totally different, you know, work field.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
it took me a while to find my path. Some people know their path early on, and that's really admirable, but I think that's very rare.
Yeah, well, I still haven't found my path.
Well, I'm not saying my path is paying for anything, but, you know.
But maybe you appreciate it more, too, when it's not exactly. your first job.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's like what you say, because you like in helping people, and that's why we do what we do, because we like to help people.
Right.
And, you know, I know what I've been through and my wife has been through, and three of our four kids, all four kids have been through. You know, so if we can help somebody, you know, people
right.
ask me all the time, why do you do all this? You know, because if I can help somebody, that's, you know.
And that's a great service you know, that you know, provide,
and
yeah.
You're, you know, well, you're not getting paid. I don't care. It, you know, if I can save or help, not so much save, but help one person
right.
or one family, it's all worthwhile, you know. And anyway, I know that many people over the years, of course, 20-some-odd years, almost 20 years, especially those with a mental health issue, they get the so-called winter blues or doldrums.
Right.
Do you want to speak to that?
Sure. I think it's natural for many people, probably predominantly all of us, get some kind of winter doldrums to some degree. Part of it is it gets dark so early, the holidays are over, and the holidays, as we know, can be depressing sometimes
right.
for people.
Right.
And then they're over and there's nothing to look forward to. And I think it's natural for most of us to go through that. What I like to emphasize is because we're not getting the sunshine as much, we really should supplement with vitamin D. And the vitamin D, studies have shown, has helped with mood, mild mood, not serious issues, but mild,
right.
mild winter doldrums. So I recommend vitamin D supplementing daily. And it's one of those cheaper price supplements.
Right.
It's really something everyone can afford.
Yeah, I have to take it, so that's why I'm
right. We all do it, this part of the hemisphere, right. And getting outside and walking. Like, today is a beautiful sunny day, and it's been rare for the past couple weeks to see the sun.
And according to the weather that you just did, Tracy, it's going to be rare till Thursday.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So get out while the sun's out and take a walk. And even if it's not sunny, I recommend to my clients, you know, sometimes it's hard to find time for exercise or working out, but if you're in a corporate job or you're, you know, working someplace full time, you can at least get out at lunchtime and walk around the block, do something like that. And getting outside has been shown to also help with your mood and alleviate your mood. And foods can help too. So in the winter, it's recommended Ayurvedically that you eat local foods. And local foods during this time of year, or local vegetables, tend to be root vegetables. And they're very grounding because they're in the ground,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
But if you need some uplift, it's recommended that you eat more plant foods, more greens, because they come out of the ground. They're uplifting. They're facing the sun. So, you know, having more lighter foods can help with your mood as well.
It's interesting because my wife, I belong to a gym, and my wife doesn't. But we live in, obviously, like most of us around here, we live in a country.
Right.
And when you say walk around a block, in our case, walking around a block is 3.1 miles.
Hey, so, fabulous.
You know,
yeah.
That's my wife. She walks around a block.
Really? Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. She walks around
3.1 miles. How long does that take her?
You know, it varies. Hmm. I am a slow walker, you know. And since I had both my knees replaced,
okay.
so I have to walk. It has to be level.
Right.
Because if it's up and down, forget it. So I can't walk with her around the block. First of all, I'd be 2 miles behind her.
Right, right.
Secondly, because she's a fast walker.
Right. And, that's great exercise for her.
So, that's her thing, you know? And it, in the spring, she's digging in the garden all the time and working outside.
Oh, that's great.
So, but, you know, when you say walking, I say, yeah, it's like, you know, but I go to the gym. So,
whatever works. We all have to find the exercise that works best for us, given our daily life.
And, you know, and your physical abilities or disabilities.
Absolutely.
Know?
And, absolutely.
With me, I can't do certain ones because of my knees, but I can do upper body and, you know, cardio and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can ride the stationary bike. That
I
do.
Right. That's usually pretty easy on the knees, yes.
Yeah, that is, you know, so.
That's
but
great.
Anyway, so you're suggesting to, like, if they could walk on their lunch hour?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know my wife used to do that when she worked. You know, she'd go out for lunch and walk.
I did that for years.
Yeah. You know, it's, I said, wait, what are you, oh, I got to go take a walk. Why?
You know, many times you get so busy at work, you're eating lunch at your desk or whatever.
Right.
But I still find the opportunity to just get outside for 15 minutes at the least, and it just clears your mind.
Mm.
And it helps with the stress of the job, which we all...
Right.
Yeah,
bear.
Well, I walk every day for about 30 minutes with a neighbor, so I have a walking buddy.
That's perfect.
And as far as stress, I call her my little bartender, because all the little crises we can talk about, and it's just a great stress reliever.
That's wonderful. You have a sounding board, and you get it out.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. How does, you were saying about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
How does that help the body, and does it have an effect on the mind?
Sure. All of the above.
Okay. Well, would you elaborate?
Yeah. what I like to talk with my clients about is finding out what works for them. So it's all about bio-individuality. What works for me may not work for you.
Right.
So one diet does not fit all kind of mode. So we sit down and we look at foods that they customarily eat, foods that they ate growing up or their moms fed them. And we look for patterns. And we start by eliminating some things, some of the common allergens like dairy and gluten. We'll eliminate one at a time for about 2 weeks, see how they feel. Maybe we'll add it back in if they, you know, feel okay. Mm-hmm. And then we'll try another one. And so we slowly over time weed out what doesn't work for them. So those are the foods that perhaps you've been eating out of habit, and they really are working against you. They're giving you digestive issues. Your body doesn't absorb them well, and so you're putting on weight without trying, right? So when we find the diet that works for them, and it's really a lifestyle, not a diet, quote-unquote, they find along the way that they start to feel better, they have more energy, they're more upbeat, perhaps they start to lose some of that extra water weight, they lose weight without really trying. And so along the way, you know, they'll go back to their doctors, and maybe the doctor says they don't need that blood pressure medication anymore because they've changed their whole diet, their whole outlook. So it helps with your mood, it helps with your finding your normal weight, and it can help you get off medication sometimes, depending on what they are.
Would you explain exactly what holistic health is?
That's a great question. Well, holistic health is looking at everything in your life. And besides just the foods you put in your mouth, we call those the secondary foods. There's also what we call primary foods. And primary foods are those things that are so important in your life, like spirituality, relationships, finances, career. All those things can affect your health.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the primary factors that can affect your health. It doesn't matter how good your diet is. If you're completely out of whack in relationships or completely, you know, suffering with finances, you can get sick, right? So we look at everything. And one of the things I like to do with my clients is we do an exercise called the circle of life. And it's a big circle with little pie little pie wedges, and each wedge is a different primary food. So one might be finance, as I said, one might be career, relationships, etc., all the way around. And what I instruct them to do is, for each one, put a dot where they think they are with that particular primary food. So a dot closer to the center would mean they feel pretty good about that. A dot further towards the edge of the circle for that particular pie wedge means that they have something to work on there. They know that. And then they connect the dots, and everyone will have a little amoeba shape result. But it's not about the amoeba. It's about the exercise of going through and identifying for yourself what you feel good about and what maybe you've neglected over the years, right? So it just really helps them kind of focus on what's important to them and maybe something that they need to look at again.
And if they have something they need to look at again, how do you get them to look at it again?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about solutions for that. So say creativity is one of them. We'll talk about what is it that you'd like to do. Is it drawing? Is it something with decorating? You know, there's so many different avenues for creativity. So I work with them to figure out what they'd really like to do, and then we try to find easy solutions. So you take a drawing lesson, or you know, you find the time to add that piece of creativity into your life that's so important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. No, I've done that circle too. It's really.
Oh, that's great.
Informative.
Yeah. You asked something off the air before we.
No, I think I was trying to look at. You do so many things.
Right.
Is there one that's dominant or?
Yeah, you know, I feel like they all work together. I love. As I said before, I love helping people, and teaching is my way of helping people. So my exercise classes, I really treat everybody as family, and I love getting to know them. And they, you know, along the way, we start discussions on nutrition. And so I kind of bring everything together, mm-hmm. depending where I'm at. Nutrition's very important to me, but as we just discussed, it's more the holistic picture. Mm-hmm. Not just one thing.
Great.
What happens if you have a client who doesn't want to change the way they're eating?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually they don't come to me.
They like mashed potatoes and steaks and what have you.
Well, as I said, those are people who typically don't reach or look for someone like me. The people who are looking for change and, you know that there's something they need to change, they're the ones who reach out and try and find me, or people like me.
Yeah, but
right? There are some people. For example, I had a client who was not going to give up her wine. So she tried everything, but she would not give up her wine. She had it daily. Was she as successful with her goals? No, but you can only bring the horse to water, so to speak,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But you know, help me. If someone doesn't want to go 100% nutrition,
mm-hmm.
but they want to exercise and
mm-hmm.
do the other things,
mm-hmm.
can you still help them?
Yeah, sure. Sure, we work on what are their three main goals, and then we focus on those. So
if one of their main goals is getting their body in shape.
Right. We'll work on that.
Okay.
Right. I coach them to figure out what their goals are and what are their measures of success.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't have to give up the mashed potatoes and steak then, is that what you're saying?
Well, I would say everything in moderation.
Well, that yeah, obviously. Yeah.
No one has to do anything, Larry.
Yeah. Right. I was only kidding.
Yeah.
But no, because I know, like, for a lot of things, when I had my knees done,
mm-hmm.
prior to that, I lost 130 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, I put some of it back on now, but it just, and it was a course of over a year.
Right.
And, you mm-hmm. know.
Done the right way.
And done the right way, because mm-hmm. they told me they couldn't operate, or they wouldn't operate.
Right.
Because it was too heavy.
Right.
And but you know, it's and it's things like that. It's not necessarily just coming to a you know someone like yourself. It's like you know for medical purposes and such also. Can holistic health help folks who have a mental health issue?
I think so. I think so, definitely. I think that foods contribute, good or bad, to your mental health. I think fast foods, cookies, all that, the crap, what we called crap, can definitely influence you negatively on your mental health. I've read studies on changing diet can help with ADD, ADHD, right? So it stands to reason that it can help with some mental issues.
Yes, I don't think it can help with all of them.
Exactly.
But then again, I don't think that anything helps with everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you were saying earlier about medication. You could maybe take aspirin and I can or something, or it works for you and it doesn't work
right.
for me.
Right.
And that's the problem with a lot of medications, whether it's for mental health or a medical disease or whatever, because it can work on some people and it can't work on others, or it doesn't work on others.
Right.
And usually the doctors or the psychiatrists, whoever, they usually try to initially issue a prescription for what has worked in the past for the general population.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and a lot of times it doesn't work, you know. So then they have to, because I know this is my son's experience. He tried every medication under the sun, you know, and it just, because along with his mental health issues, he's epileptic. So one medication would interfere with the other and they wouldn't, you know, work together and all that jazz. So,
Well, I remember when my children were young, I always gave them whole wheat bread because I thought that was the best. And then finding out later that maybe the whole wheat was actually exacerbating the ADHD that one of my children had. So you just have to really find out what...
Well, rye bread is the best.
You know, nutrition is one of the newer science.
Yeah.
And so every day, they're depending on the study, they're finding something new. So they used to think whole wheat was better. Now they think it has to be fermented, like sourdough bread is more easily digestible. And even the latest from Dr. Dilliard, he's a Ayurvedic background doctor and physician. He says it's not really the gluten, is that it's that we don't have the proper probiotics in our body that can manage the gluten. So... You know, that's one of the things I love reading up on and researching, because it is so ever-changing.
Yeah, and they're saying rye bread now is a lot better than a lot of the other breads to take. And you know,
right, because so. I think it has a fermented piece to it.
Something fermented about it. I'm not sure what, but something about it, you know.
Right.
I happen to like rye bread anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm
great.
Not big on white bread as it is, but, you know. All right, let me ask you something. First of all, where is the location where you do all this stuff?
I don't have a home office, so I usually go to my clients, or we meet at a cafe or someplace quiet that we have room and space to talk.
Okay, where do you do the exercising then?
Oh, well, I teach yoga at the 100 and Deer Path Y.
Okay.
And I teach bar at Spice of Life Yoga, which is right down the road here.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I know where that is. Okay, yeah.
With the wonderful Martha Hernandez, she owns it. Yeah, okay. So I go at different places. So those are the two places I'm at right now.
All right, if someone reached out to you, what would be your process then?
Well, I would ask.
Say
them,
I called up and you know, I heard you on the radio and I you know I'm interested. You know, what do I do?
Sure. Well, I would direct them back to my website where there are health history forms that I would ask them to fill out. There's one for men. There's one for women. I would ask them to fill it out and then submit it, and it comes right into my email. And once I get that, I'll set up an exploratory meeting with them.
Okay.
And then we can kind of walk through their health history, find out their goals and their measures for their goals, and figure out if I'm the right person for them, if my programs are right for them. You know, if we feel that mutually we feel like it's a good fit, then we'll move forward.
All right. Supposing that they're on a, I don't want to say large number, but in my case, it's a large number of medications.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect?
Well, I don't really work with the medications.
I'm not saying that you work with them, but how does that affect somebody's ability to do some of the things you do?
Well, it's depends on the individual, right? So we'll start and see what they want to work on, and we'll see how that goes, and we'll change as we go along because, as you say, maybe some medication is affecting something. Maybe it's affecting their energy levels, right? And that's why they can't commit to getting to the gym like they thought they could. So we'll examine some of those things and play around with it and find different solutions if we need to.
You know, like I have a flutter, mm-hmm. atrial fibrillation, I think they call it.
Right, right.
So I'm taking medication for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the doctor, the cardiologist, tells me, he says, okay, you can go to the gym. You can, you know, work out is fine. Just don't, you know, overwork, you know,
right.
whatever. But so I was just curious if someone has, you know, a list of medications, how that affects them when they see
you. I would recommend, and somebody in your case, maybe a heart rate monitor just to keep track. Make sure you're not going up too high, depending on the cardio work you're doing. I love heart rate monitor. I have them on my watch. I have it on my watch. So when I work out, I can check down and see where's my heart rate. And they're fairly accurate these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Let me jump in for a second.
Go ahead.
When you said you come up with a plan, mm-hmm. do you have a recommended time that you think someone should work with you to get the best mm-hmm. results, like 3 months or
right.
something like that?
That's a great question. We recommend 6 months. It takes a good 90 days to break a bad habit and another 90 days to establish a new one. So that's why, you know, I recommend 6 months is the ultimate plan for them to really change their lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have done shorter plans. I've done mm-hmm. 3 month plans and like 6 week, you know, just they want to work on one little thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll work on that.
What would the one little thing be for an example?
Well, you know, sometimes people just need, you know, like you found your buddy, your walking buddy for mm-hmm. some people just need somebody to push them along, right? Somebody to be accountable to. And that's what a coach is. So, you know, you're going to meet with me next week and you had this, this, this on your to-do list. It kind of helps you
to do it.
To do it, right. If you know you're going to meet with me,
right.
If you know you're going to meet with a coach, so that's what a coach does many times.
Do you have a recommended time frame? Do you, weekly, twice a month, that you get together with
usually
somebody?
Every other week, mm-hmm. so they get 2 weeks to implement right. whatever we're working on at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. If you recommended exercise,
mm-hmm.
what kind of exercise? Treadmill, elliptical, stationary bike? What?
Yeah, again, it depends on the person and what we know they will go back to. Some people, for example, they just like to get on a machine, do their own thing, and be done with it. Other people like to be in a group situation, you know, like to be chatty with people, see the same people at class after class, you know. So it's really trying to figure out what works for them. And, of course, the time of the year and their budget. So we work to figure out the best solution, exercise solution for them. So I, to answer your question another way, I think yoga benefits everybody. You cannot go wrong with yoga, with the meditation, the calming of the mind, the just stillness that comes out of yoga, and the flexibility and the strength you can gain from doing yoga as well. And it's low impact, and it's usually not cardio.
Okay, for somebody who is ignorant, like myself, what actually do you do with yoga?
Okay.
I've never seen a yoga class. I have seen a yoga class once at the gym I used to belong to.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, I will tell you what I do. There's many, many different styles of yoga and many different instructors. So when I tell people to look for a yoga class, you know, sometimes they're not local. So they need to go out into their area and look for and just try different teachers, because each one is different. I teach a slow flow yoga. So what we start is we start with about 5 minutes of kind of grounding, meditation, quiet, just quieting everything down. And then we'll work into stretches and then into sun salutations, which are different poses or asanas that work different parts of the body and the mind. And as you're going through them all, you're keeping nice, measured breathing. And it's not like any other exercise program formed in the West. So it's not competitive. You're not looking at your neighbor. And in fact, in my class, I keep the lights down very low because we have mirrors in the room, and I don't want people to feel intimidated as they look at themselves and look at others. And it's so easy to start comparing.
I really like that.
Yes.
When there's a yoga class with dark like that.
Right. Because it's not about that. It's just you're in your own little mind going through the yoga poses. And then at the end, we have something called Shavasana, which is relaxation on your back, on your mat. Lights are out, and you're just in a different zone.
Do you have to wake anybody up when you
do that? Oh, sometimes, yes. And I have been on the receiving. I have fallen asleep. I remember when my kids were young and I would go to my yoga class, like I was exhausted, and then come to Shavasana and I'd be snoring away. Yeah. And that's okay. That's fine.
That's just funny. But yeah. Can, along with what you do and help people with, would going to the gym help them also?
Sure, absolutely.
And what would you recommend they do at the gym?
Well,
after you've studied them and, you know.
Depending on what they like to do, I might recommend going to a group fitness class. So depending on the gym, they usually have a variety of offerings. So it just depends on what they're looking for and their preference. So if it's weight training, there's usually a weight training class that they could attend. There's usually some kind of Pilates class or yoga class. So
you can find those at the gym as well. They could take that with you.
Sure, they could.
You know.
Absolutely.
But when I say somebody says go to the gym, it's like working out on the machines, the treadmill or elliptical or their case or whatever.
But most of them have classes as well. But if somebody just wanted to get on some machines, they can certainly do that. We could work out a program. Elliptical is usually pretty good. They have those bikes, the stationary bikes now, where you can follow the program or you can follow the racer in front of you. Anything that keeps you motivated and entertained, I think, works wonders. And again, it's up to the person what they really want to accomplish.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing wrong with machines as long as they're used properly, right? That they've been trained on the machines.
Right. That they've had the trainer
explain
to them how to do the machines.
Exactly.
Yes, and what not to do on them, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, I understand perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go to foods.
Okay.
What type of foods do you tend to recommend?
Again, it depends on the person.
Okay, let's take somebody who...
I think I like to encourage...
Again, somebody that comes in and wants to change their lifestyle or whatever.
Right.
But they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So consequently, you find you're asking questions, obviously.
Right.
And they're saying, well, they eat French fries and they go to McDonald's or whatever, which I don't, by the way. But
I was getting a little worried.
I can't remember the last time I was in a McDonald's, over years ago. But anyway, so you sit there and try to...
Well, we'll work together. And what we'll figure out is we'll try one thing each session. Right? So we meet every other week.
What would one thing be like?
Well, it could be, okay, so they're a fast food freak. We'd start with maybe cutting back a little bit on fast food and maybe finding alternatives, from sometimes the frozen food section. You know, it depends. Mm-hmm. You know, we start with baby steps. And as I said, it takes a good 90 days to break a bad habit, right? And it takes another 90 days to start a new habit. It's hard to start something new. You keep forgetting, right? So we work on one thing at a time, and over time, we've turned it around. But it's a gradual process. I mean, you can't tell somebody who's lived on fast foods for many years to just stop them cold turkey, because I believe that's a setup for disaster. You're not.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
So you have to make slow, progressive changes over time to really change that around. And I think, I'm sorry,
no,
if I could
ahead.
Just add.
No, go ahead.
No, I think if you start adding whole foods into your diet, a little bit at a time, plant foods or really good quality meats, that you're getting the nutrition that you have not been getting from those fast foods. And once your body starts getting that nutrition and recognizes it, it wants more of it. So it's a natural process that you'll start to move away from those fast foods and enjoy and look for more of those whole foods.
Like fish and such like that?
You know, properly sourced fish, yes. Yeah. Definitely plant foods. We typically, as an American diet, don't eat enough plant foods, dark leafy greens. I work with people who are interested in juicing on what to do, and I'll give them, you know, hands-on tutorial on how to juice. Because you can get a lot of your nutrition right there from one glass of freshly juiced stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do you find that you have people who crash and go back to the...
Sometimes, yeah.
That they don't hold on to it? And
exactly.
Do they come back and start over it?
They're always welcome to come back. I have yet to have somebody come back. But yeah, I mean, it's...
Really?
Yeah.
I find that interesting. You would think that... I haven't smoked in almost 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to smoke.
Right.
Almost two packs a day. And I have a touch of emphysema to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I quit.
Right.
I mean, I must have quit 40 times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Until they put me on a operating table and tilted me upside down and scraped my vocal cords and told me it was the only time they could do it. The next time they were taking them out.
Oof.
And I'm thinking, with my big mouth, I have to talk like, you know, that. No, that wasn't happening. So I quit.
Right.
And I haven't smoked since.
Congratulations. That's hard.
But
you seem to go. You need some major incentive, it seems.
That's what you said earlier.
Yeah. About something else too.
Yeah, I think I do. You know.
Well, that's a form of addiction, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, food can be an addiction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm teaching them along the way, and I'm giving them handouts that they can refer to later on if they need to, you know, need to go back and go, oh, wait a minute, what did we talk about here? They can go back to the handouts and refresh their mind and start over again. I'm not perfect as an eater either. Who is?
Nobody is.
Right.
But
it's very difficult.
I mean, even, you know, when you're on like a rigid diet, you still, every once in a while, you crash and have ice cream or whatever.
Right.
You know,
we try to do is find foods that work for them that they don't feel deprived about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because to your point, if something is so restrictive and rigid, you're going to fall off that wagon at some point, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have something, enough variety, and something you know is good for you and you enjoy, you're less likely to really fall off that wagon. Maybe a little here and there, but not something so drastic.
What do you suggest for supplements?
Well...
What is a supplement, per se?
A supplement supplements the diet. And I think that there are several that are necessary, regardless of how good your diet is, because they're just not found anymore in the soil, and they're very hard to achieve for the body to achieve on its own. For example, we talked earlier about vitamin D. I think everybody should be supplementing on vitamin D in this part of the hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C is really good to help keep your immunity up so that you don't get those colds and flus. For a lot of people, they're deficient in magnesium. So magnesium at night can help with migraines, can help with cramping at night, can help with mental clarity. So there's, you know, I don't prescribe per se supplements, but there are some that might come to mind as we're talking that would really benefit somebody. Okay. And I have gone through from, I had leaky gut, I had hypothyroidism. I had a couple of instances of disease in my life that made me research what works for those things. So, for about a year or more, I worked at a pharmacy, an integrative pharmacy, where we worked with supplements and recommended them to the customers who came in. So right. I know a little bit about them.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I like to start with food first and then supplement the supplements.
Right, right. No, yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know, and today, now a lot of, there's been so much out there about foods and, you know, the right kind of foods and to eat and so on and so forth that, you know, it's just amazing.
Can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
And do you get any vegetarians or
sure,
vegans?
Sure, I am a vegetarian, but I don't recommend it for everybody because it really depends on how people feel on a vegetarian diet. And some people just do not thrive on a vegetarian diet. So it's not, as I said, it's not a one solution for all kind
right.
of thing.
And there is no such one solution for all.
No,
I don't care
what
it is. You know?
And I have been a vegetarian since college, so we won't say how many years that is. But I was three or four.
Right.
I was a bad vegetarian for a good 10 years where I, you know, would have I was working in the city. I would have a pretzel I'd have a bagel for breakfast, a pretzel for lunch, you know.
Oh, that's good pretzel stuff.
Yeah, right.
Ones, you know.
That, you know, frozen yogurt. That's not a good vegetarian diet, which probably led to some of those issues I had later on.
Yeah.
So I think it is one of those, it's a tough diet to follow properly.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not something I recommend for people, but if they feel strongly about being on it, we work together to make sure it's really balanced for them.
Right. Now, it is so important if they're vegetarian.
Yeah. It is.
You know, to do it right.
Right.
My one granddaughter was a vegan for a long time, and then she became, you know, slacked back a little bit, and, you know, and is now still, I would say, 90% vegetarian, you know. But hers is because she has this thing about, you know, they're killing animals for, you know, and that sort of thing. And, you know, I agree with you. Fine, you know. It's not for me, but, you know, it's what works for you, you know.
Right, exactly.
If someone wanted to reach you, how do they do that?
Sure.
Do you have a website you want to give us? And a phone number or something?
Yes. I'm at www.bewell, and that's B-E-well. BeWholeHealth.com. And you can reach me at my email, and that's Janette, at BeWellBeWholeHealth.com. Or you can give me a call. You can call me at 908-303-1676.
Why don't you give that one again?
908-303-1676. 76.
And it was Be Well, Be Whole?
Be Well, Be Whole Health.com.
Health.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Janette, I can't thank you enough. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, I've had a lot of fun. Thank you for having
me.
We
have too. And, you know, I really appreciate it. And you'll have to come back.
Okay, I'd love to.
You know. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just want to make one quick announcement that tomorrow, between 12 and 1, Mental Health Matters show will be in Spanish. And Lauren Feliciano will be doing it, and it'll be all in Spanish, and it'll be similar to what we do, you know, here in English. And I'm going to be with her tomorrow, but I won't understand a word she says. But but I'll make sure she hits the right buttons on the board. So tomorrow between 12 and 1, if you're around, you can listen to if you understand Spanish, you can listen to Mental Health in Spanish. Till then, remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you.